All right, we're going to consider the subject of the rapture of the church this evening. If you were here last week, we did a little overview, I guess you could call it, of the end times. And we kind of stopped at the point talking about the rapture of the church in particular, when that will happen. So that's what we want to take up this evening and look at several reasons why we believe the rapture of the church will occur before the tribulation period. There's three main verses or portions in the New Testament that talk about the rapture of the church. The first one is in John 14, 1 through 3. That we have up there on the screen, where the Lord told his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." So I don't know what they really understood of that when the Lord said it to them, but it's quite a promise. He had been telling them he's going away, and he also is telling them, "I'll be back, and I'll receive you unto myself." So that's a very early promise in the New Testament. But the main section that we have that talks about the rapture of the church is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we read there, and this gives us the kind of the little sequence of what's going to happen. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." So I don't know what the shout's going to sound like, but every believer will hear it, and every believer will respond. "With the voice of an archangel." Don't know what that'll sound like either. "And with the trumpet of God." Well, we picture and know what a trumpet sounds like, but whether it's going to be that kind of trumpet or not, we don't know. But there'll be a sound, a noise. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." I don't know if you like clouds. I think they're beautiful like that. I mean, that's just, I don't even know where I took it somewhere. Sometimes, I don't know if I should say this or not, but driving along, and I'll just pull up my camera. Now, let me finish. It's not like I just pull it out and click it. I'm watching the road, and I click. That's the truth. It's the truth. I can show you two afterwards that I did just yesterday. But anyhow, when I see clouds like this, I mean, they're beautiful. I like that. But it makes me think of the Lord's return. Because this verse says, "Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds," that is, those who are raised from the dead, "will go up together and meet the Lord in the air." Now, it took a lot longer to read that than it will be to happen, because this is the third portion, 1 Corinthians 15, and that says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." So a mystery is something the Old Testament saints didn't know, was revealed in the New. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That is, we shall not all die. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." I don't even know how to describe that or explain it, but that word moment, it's such a small amount of time that it's you can't even divide it. That's kind of the meaning of the word. So it's instantaneous. It's nanoseconds that this event will happen. The Lord coming in the clouds, the shout, the saints who are in the graves, their bodies arise. We who are alive and remain shall be changed. All this happens in just an instant. Some versions say, I believe, an instant of time. So these are the three verses that explain what the rapture is. So it's the time when Christ will come to receive us. And We who are alive and remain and do not face physical death will be changed, will be glorified, will be made like the Lord. We'll meet him in the air, and the verse goes on to say, we shall ever be with the Lord. And it also says, therefore comfort one another with these words. So the whole thing is meant to be a comfort for the people of God. So the fact that there will be a rapture is without question, although there's some who, I guess, I don't know what they teach, but they don't really teach this, but this is pretty clear that the Lord's going to come and exactly what it says will take place. So the fact that it will happen isn't really the question. The question is, when will it happen? And that's where there's differences. And really the question of concern is, will the church go through the tribulation? Now, last week we built a little chart. And let's do that again for the sake of those who weren't here last week. We might build it a little faster tonight just to get going here. But so we have the earthly ministry of Christ. He was on this earth approximately 33 years. The last 3 years, he did his public ministry. Then, of course, he died. He rose again. He ascended back to heaven. The day of Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2, and the Spirit of God came, and the church was formed. So this is the beginning of the church, Acts chapter 2. That's an undefined length of time. We don't know how long. The Bible doesn't say how long the church age will go on. Now, we believe, and what I'll show here tonight is why we believe, the rapture of the church, as we've just looked at, occurs at the end of the church age before the tribulation period, which is a 7-year period of time, otherwise known as the day of the Lord, otherwise known as Daniel's 70th week of prophecy in Daniel 9, a time of unparalleled judgment on this earth, where the Lord is really doing two things. He's judging sin and the wicked and evilness on this earth, but he's also bringing the nation of Israel to repentance. That's another aspect of this. So that is a 7-year period divided into 2 3-and-a-half-year sections. The Lord himself, let me just read this verse in Matthew chapter 24, a couple verses here, where this is part of what we call the Olivet Discourse, the Lord's discourse on things to come. He says in verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, and that happens to be in the middle of that 70th week, is when that particular thing occurs. And then he says in verse 21, then there will be great tribulation such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. So the Lord himself said it's going to be an unparalleled time of judgment, something this world has never seen, which is really hard to imagine, because this world has seen a lot of horrible things through war and other things. So that period will be 7 years in length. At the end of that time, the Lord Jesus will come to earth. Notice, come to earth. And these several scriptures here talk about that. And again, there'll be judgment. And then the Lord sets up a 1,000-year kingdom. We call the millennium. Many Old Testament verses talk about that time. The book of Revelation in chapter 20 gives us the time, the length of it, 1,000 years. We read that 6 times in those couple verses. But even that's not the end. After that, there's a little disturbance there at the end. Well, actually, it's not a little. It's a big disturbance. But the Lord squashes it very quickly. And then the eternal state comes into being. This past Wednesday, we're going through 2 Peter, and we looked at this aspect where the earth will be dissolved, burned up by fire, and the Lord creates a new heaven and a new earth. So that And if you can kind of get those different colored blocks in your mind as events that either are or will take place, and then, you know, fit these verses in where they fit, it's just a big help in thinking through all the end times. Now, so some people believe, as we do, that the rapture occurs before the tribulation. Some people believe the church will go partway through the tribulation, maybe halfway, or there's a view called the pre-wrath rapture of the church. But anyhow, in the midst of the 7 weeks, or the 7 years. Then there are those who think the rapture of the church occurs at the end of the tribulation. So which is it? Well, I want to present several reasons why we believe that the rapture of the church occurs before the tribulation period. So first of all, Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks that we looked at last week, we won't take the time to look at it again this evening, maybe just briefly to go through it, but it involves Israel, not the church. And again, if you look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, we read phrases there like, your people, your holy city, referring to Daniel, his people, the holy city, which is Jerusalem, to restore and build Jerusalem. It talks about the Messiah, destroy the city and the sanctuary, sacrifice, offering. All these phrases are phrases that have to do with the nation of Israel, not the church. Secondly, there are passages describing the tribulation period are set in a context relating to Israel, not the church. So, again, you can look in the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Zephaniah, Zechariah, and even in the book of Revelation, chapters 6 to 19 are describing this time period of 7 years of tribulation. You don't read of the church in those chapters at all because the church is gone. The church is in Revelation 2 and 3, current time, but when you get to chapter 4, we're put into the time yet to come, and you don't read the church in Revelation 6 through 19. As I mentioned earlier, God will use that period of tribulation to bring Israel to repentance. Now, Zechariah chapter 12 and chapter 14 are two chapters to read where you see that the nation of Israel is going to go through some very difficult times. But then you also read there that the Lord will deliver. It says in there that they'll recognize that one whom they have pierced, and the Lord will deliver them. Romans chapter 11, near the end of that chapter, talks about the Lord being a deliverer. And again, it's talking about the nation of Israel. And also in Revelation chapter 1. So, verses and passages that we read in the Bible that talk about this time of the tribulation period always are referring to Israel. And therefore, there is absolutely no purpose for the church to be in the tribulation. What purpose would it serve? You know, some people say, well, the church needs to be refined, it needs to be cleansed, and so forth. Yet if you think about that, a good part of the church, if not most of the church, in the history of the church since the day of Pentecost, is already with the Lord. So even if it was true that the church of now, of our day, would go in the tribulation, it would only be a small portion of the church as a whole from the time it started. It really doesn't make any sense that the church would go in that period of time because it has nothing to do with us. So this is reason number one, that all these references to that time of tribulation, Daniel's 70th week and so forth, all are talking about the nation of Israel. Now, we'll just put this up here quickly. We went through this last week, but this is just looking at Daniel 9, 24 through 27. It talks about the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem till the coming of Messiah the Prince is 69 weeks, 69 out of the 70 weeks. That's 483 years. Then it says, after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. He'll be crucified. And we mentioned last week, until Messiah the Prince, that's when he, well, actually, today is Palm Sunday, what's celebrated as his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That's the time it's talking about from Luke 19:42, when he officially rode in on a donkey, fulfilling prophecy, presenting himself as the Messiah in Jerusalem. That's the day. So the 69 weeks comes to that day. And then the Daniel 9 says, after the 62 weeks, meaning the 62 and the 7, Messiah will be cut off. He'll be crucified. And then it says, the people of the prince who is to come, yet future, the one who will destroy the city and the sanctuary. It talks in verse 27 about the one who will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And so there's the last week. I forgot my pointer here. But there's the last week then, that last seven-year period that the Lord Jesus refers to and that the tribulation period is. And of course, that comes to an end. It says the consummation poured out on the desolator. So that's Daniel's 70th week, which is that time of tribulation. And then, again, the Lord sets up the kingdom. So the first reason is it has nothing to do with the church, the tribulation. It has everything to do with the nation of Israel. The second reason why we believe the church will be raptured before the tribulation, why the church will not be part of the tribulation or go in any part of the tribulation, is because the church is not appointed to wrath. This is very important. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Maybe turn to that verse. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Now this is in the midst of the teaching on the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And this is what is said to the church of Philadelphia. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You can look at that phrase, those who dwell on the earth, in the book of Revelation. It's a phrase talking about those who are on the earth during the time of tribulation who are not, they're not believing in the Lord at all. Earth dwellers, those who dwell on the earth. But it is a promise to this church. The Lord says, I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. The tribulation time is going to be a time that the whole world is involved in. A time of judgment, a time of tribulation. But even more than that, in 1 Thessalonians, there's two verses in 1 Thessalonians. The first one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Two verses that very clearly say that the church will not undergo the wrath of God. And the first one is 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Talking about these believers in Thessalonica, it says they, in verse 9, they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, the book of 1 Thessalonians makes a lot of references to the coming of the Lord. But the church will be delivered from or out of the wrath to come. And then look at chapter 5 and verse 9, maybe even a more direct verse, that very clearly says, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this word wrath is important because the tribulation period is the time of God's wrath being poured out on the world, being poured out on sin, judgment on the world. But the church is spared that. This isn't a wrath of hell. It's the wrath that's going to come upon this world when the Lord Jesus breaks forth in judgment, the day of the Lord. We said last week, the day of the Lord is that time when God intervenes, the Lord Jesus will intervene in the affairs of man. And if the world continued on the way it was, it would destroy itself. We have the capability, I suppose, now to practically do that if maybe we have enough bombs and so forth, nuclear weapons, to destroy ourselves. But the Lord will intervene. That time of wrath upon the earth, unparalleled, as the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, the church is not appointed to that. And we can ask the question, why is the church so great? Why are we spared that? Because it's simply the plan of God. Now, we go through tribulations. We talk about tribulations, trials, and difficulties in life. But that's different than the tribulation, the time of wrath that the Bible refers to in the end times. So the church is not appointed to that. And then along with this, that day of wrath includes all the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. Now, they are what make up the judgments in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19. And once again, once that wrath starts in chapter 6, you don't read about the church in all those chapters then, 6 through 19. I mean, it's sort of an argument from silence, but I believe it's a very strong argument. Why wouldn't the church be mentioned in those chapters if the church is there? What you do read about, though, is Israel. Israel is in that time period because, again, this is part of God's plan to bring that nation to repentance because he isn't finished with the nation of Israel. But they need to come to repentance before he can continue his work with them. And the church needs to be removed before the Lord is going to deal once again with the nation of Israel. So, second reason why we believe the rapture of the church is before the tribulation is because the church is not appointed to wrath due to God's plans and purposes. It's not that the church is that great. It's not that we're that godly and holy. It's simply the plan of God. A third reason is that the pre-tribulation view is the only view that preserves imminency. Imminency meaning this event, the rapture, Lord coming in the clouds, the shout going forth, the dead in Christ raised from the dead, we who are alive and remain being changed, and we all meet the Lord in the air. That could happen at any moment. It's imminent. Nothing has to take place prophetically before this happens. And these verses, we won't take the time to look at them, but they talk about eagerly waiting for the Lord. And the fact that we're looking for Christ, we're looking for the Lord Jesus. Nowhere does it say in the New Testament that we're waiting for the Antichrist to appear. We're waiting for this signing of the covenant. We're waiting for all those things. Now, you know, as we view this world, and I said this last week, for all we know, the Antichrist could be alive and well. And so, you know, it's very curious as we see events going on, and even this current conflict of Russia kind of resuming power once again. Many scholars who study the end times certainly believe Russia will be part of the end times. Talks about that nation to the north of Israel. And, you know, they've kind of laid dormant for these number of years now, but here they come again. And so, you know, this can all be, and well, certainly is, the plan of God. But as far as the believer, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We don't want to wake up tomorrow and see in the news, you know, the signing of the covenant. That's not what we're looking for. We are looking for Christ. We are eagerly waiting for his return. That's what these verses are talking about. So this view preserves that imminency. If the church would go into the tribulation, well, once the tribulation starts, there's definite time factors. There's 3.5 year period, 2 3.5 year periods. You can figure out when the Lord's coming. But the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord Jesus for the church, we don't know when that'll take place. Reason number 4 has to do with these 24 elders that are talked about in the book of Revelation. And this gets a little bit involved here, but starting in chapter 4, it talks about these 24 elders. Who are they? Or who do they represent? Well, it would certainly seem that they represent those who are redeemed, the church, not Israel. And not the Old Testament saints, because the Old Testament saints, according to Daniel 12, won't be resurrected until after the day of the Lord. And Israel, as you go into the book of Revelation, isn't redeemed at that point. They're in the midst of the conflict. So these 24 elders, it says in Revelation 4 and verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. They're sitting on thrones, indicating a throne is where you sit to reign. The church has said that we are going to reign with Christ. And so the throne depicts that. They have white garments, which symbolizes Christ's righteousness. And Revelation 3, 5, and 18, and chapter 19 and verse 8 refer to that, this fine linen, white garments that, you know, in picture, we are clothed as having, because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us in the church. We're cleansed, we're washed. And you see these, and the crowns, the believers, we believers today are promised crowns. So we read about these 24 elders throughout the book of Revelation, but they're in heaven. They're in heaven with the Lord. And so it seems that these 24 elders represent the church, and they're with the Lord. They're in heaven during that time of tribulation. A fifth reason why we believe the rapture will occur before this tribulation. There's two verses here that we read in the book of 2 Thessalonians. If you want to turn there, or the verses are kind of there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, Paul had written to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians. That's where the primary verses are that teach us about the rapture. Chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We read them earlier about the Lord coming. So Paul had already taught them about the rapture and the fact that the Lord would come. Now he writes this second letter, and it says in chapter 2 and verse 1, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." He had already taught them that. But he says, concerning that, "We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind and troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of," really should be the day of the Lord, "had come." So these believers were being taught either by a letter that was sent to them, or somebody came in and taught them that they were in the day of the Lord. It would be as if somebody came here and began to teach, "Look, we're in the day of the Lord. Look at this, look at that, look what's happening. The day of the Lord has started." And Paul says, you know, you shouldn't be troubled about that. "Let no one deceive you by any means." And this is our first verse here. "For that day will not come." What day? The day of the Lord. Paul says that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That will happen at the midpoint of the tribulation, where he actually will go into the temple. The Antichrist will set himself up as God. And Paul says this is going to happen, but it's not going to happen. The day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. So he has to be revealed first. His identity has to be known. If he is alive today in this world, we don't know who he is. It would only be a guess, but we don't know who he is. He will be revealed when that covenant is signed. And when that covenant is signed, according to Daniel chapter 9, that is what starts the day of the Lord. It's not the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church occurs before that time. So the day of the Lord will not come until the man of sin is revealed. But then he says something else. Let's keep reading here. Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? He's already gone over this with them. He's taught them about the rapture. He's taught them about the coming of the Lord. And now you know what is restraining, verse 6, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Now this is verse 7. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So again, notice what he says. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, verse 7. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed. And he who restrains, most people would believe that to be the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us as believers individually. He also indwells the church corporately. So when the Spirit of God is taken out of the way, the church is removed. And it's interesting the way he writes this. He who restrains. Restrains what? Restrains the wickedness of the tribulation, the deception that's going to be so great in that day. It's going to be unbelievable. We think there's deception today, and there is. But during that day, it will be manifest. There'll be duplication of miracles, all kinds of things that will deceive people. Because that's who Satan is. He's a deceiver. But that day will not come till the restrainer is taken out of the way, meaning he is removed. He's not going to hold back. Can you imagine what this world would be if the Holy Spirit of God was not active in his people, in you and I as believers, all over the world? Well, that's what's going to happen when we're removed. Literally, all hell's going to break loose on earth. And you read the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 19, and that's what's happening. Wickedness, that and judgment that this world has never seen, because he who restrains will be removed, and you and I will be gone. So the day of the Lord, with the revealing of the Antichrist, cannot happen until we are removed and the Spirit of God is taken out of the way. A sixth reason why the rapture must occur before the tribulation is because there must be physical bodies to enter the millennial kingdom. Now, let me explain that. So the tribulation time goes on for 7 years. The Lord Jesus returns. During the 7 years of tribulation, there will be people who are saved. Revelation 7 says a multitude that no man can number. Now you say, well, I thought there wasn't a second chance. Well, again, according to 2 Thessalonians, in fact, if you're still there in your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it would sure seem from these couple verses that I'll read here in a minute that those who have heard the gospel now and understand it and refuse to believe it When the Lord Jesus comes in the rapture, they will enter the tribulation period, but they are going to be deceived. It's not that they'll have a second chance. Listen to these verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Did you get that? They're going to be deceived because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. The gospel goes out today. People hear it. Some people understand it. They refuse to believe it. If you refuse to believe the truth, you open your mind to believe a lie. And that's exactly what's going to happen according to these verses. So verse 11 goes on to say, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is why it is so unbelievably, incredibly important that when the gospel goes forth and a person hears it in this day and age, and the Spirit of God convicts, you know, like Felix was convicted and he trembled and he said, I'll hear you later on this matter. That's nothing to trifle with, because the Spirit of God may not strive again. But if the Lord Jesus comes before a decision is made for him to believe in him, and this day of the Lord is ushered in, and the deception of Satan begins, as these verses are pointing out, strong delusion. And it says very clearly they'll believe the lie. So, I'm simply saying all that. I really got off track there, but those are not the people who will be saved during the tribulation period. It's not the people who heard it now, according to these verses. But there will be people in the tribulation who have not heard. The 144,000 Jews will go about as evangelists. And again, Revelation 7 says there'll be people from every tribe, nation, kindred, tongue who will believe. So, during the 7 years of tribulation, there will be those who believed. Many will die. Many will be martyred. But there will be those who make it to the end. The Lord Jesus then comes in his second coming as he comes to earth. And Matthew 25 says he'll separate the sheep from the goats. Sheep being those who believe, goats being those who don't. He'll make a separation at that time. Those who believe, according to Matthew 25, will enter into the kingdom. See, someone needs to enter into the kingdom as a believer with physical bodies to populate the kingdom. And so that's what will happen. So, again, the pre-tribulation rapture is the view that would allow that to happen, as there are those who are saved during the kingdom, Jews as well, who do believe. And if they don't die as a martyr and they make it all the way through, when the Lord comes and judges and sets up the kingdom, they enter into that kingdom for 1,000 years. And of course, there'll be children born. The population will explode during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Seventh reason, and the last reason that we'll think about here this evening, is there are differences between the rapture and the second coming of Christ to the earth. So consider these. During the rapture, we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord comes to the air, right? He comes in the clouds, and we are called up to meet him in the air. But verses that talk about the Lord Jesus coming in his second coming glory, he's coming to earth. And in fact, Zechariah 14:4 says he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. He is physically coming to earth during the revelation or his second coming. Again, the Mount of Olives, as I just mentioned. And this is an important distinction. We read again that he's coming for his saints in the rapture. He's coming to get us. He's coming to take us. Whereas when he comes back again in his second coming appearance to earth, he comes with his saints. We will come with him. Revelation 19, there's an army that's going to come with him. That's us. We're coming in victory. We're coming with the Lord when he comes back to this earth. The saints go to heaven. The saints come down to earth. Revelation 19. The rapture is for the church, whereas the revelation chiefly for the Jews as the Lord returns. The rapture is before the day of the Lord that we've tried to show this evening. The revelation is during the day of the Lord, or really at the culmination of the day of the Lord. The rapture is going to be a time of joy. When you read about, you know, gathering unto the Lord and being with the Lord, it's always something joyful. It's something to look forward to. It's a time of rewards, a time of blessing, a time of being with the Lord, being made like Christ, being conformed to his image, and so forth. But the second coming, the revelation of Jesus Christ, is a time of judgment. Very different. The rapture is a mystery, as I mentioned earlier, not taught in the Old Testament. The revelation is not a mystery. I mean, we read that way back in the book of Daniel, that the Lord will come in judgment. The rapture is not dated. We don't know when it will be. People have set dates numerous times, and they've been wrong, and they look like fools, but there's no date. We don't know that day or hour. But we do know when the second coming will be once Daniel's 70th week begins. We do have numbers. 3.5 years, 1,260 days, those kinds of things. They're very important numbers. There's no signs for the rapture. Now, we can say we can look at our world, and this world sure seems a lot worse today than it did a generation ago or two generations ago. And, you know, maybe we can say this is birth pangs, things that are happening. Certainly evil is abounding. But there's no actual sign that gives us an indication it's tomorrow or next year. We simply don't know. As bad as things are, this world could still go on for another generation. Hard to believe, but we simply don't know. But the second coming, there's a lot of signs that we read about. So this is the composite list of what we've looked at this evening. We believe that it's a pre-tribulation rapture. The church will not go into the tribulation, will not be raptured out of the tribulation, but before it, because that time involves Israel, not the church. No purpose for the church to be there. The church is not appointed to that wrath. Very clearly stated in 1 Thessalonians, especially 5 and verse 9. The pre-tribulation view is the only view that preserves this imminency. Any moment, the Lord Jesus could come. These 24 elders in the book of Revelation, representing the church, they're in heaven during that time of tribulation. We see them throughout the book of Revelation, but they're always in heaven. This lawless one, the Antichrist, will not be revealed until the restrainer is removed. The Spirit of God, but the church being removed as well. And the idea of physical bodies entering into the kingdom. And then many differences between the rapture and the revelation. Well, I have another slide, but we won't get into it on what does this mean for us. I think the greatest thing it means for us is that we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Every one of us in this room, we need to be ready. We need to be sure. Do we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior? Are we sure of that? If we're not, younger people, talk to your parents. Talk to me. Talk to anybody. Anybody would be happy to take the time to give you the assurance and point out to you verses or try to answer any questions that you have. This is nothing to trifle with. We need to be sure we're saved. We need to know we believe. We need to be ready. And once we are, then we eagerly wait. We wait for that day. We're looking forward. And every day we wake up, we should ask ourselves, is this the day? Could this be the day? And live our days in light of that and in view of that. That's how the Lord would have us to live. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this great happening. We really don't want to refer to it as an event, but your great appearing, when you will come to take us home. We really aren't looking for an event. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for each and every one sitting in this room this evening, that we might be sure that we know you. Lord, if there be any questions, especially for younger ones and children, that they would ask, that they would make sure that they know you, that they make sure that they are saved, that they are ready, and can joyously live then, waiting for that great day when you break through the clouds and we hear that shout and we are taken out of this world. We cry out as John the Apostle, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, we do pray now, commit ourselves to you for this coming week, that you would just help us in the midst of our duties and responsibilities in this world, and help us, Lord, to live in the light of what we know to be true. Help us to be witnesses. Help us to be lights in a dark world, in a world that needs to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.